Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Macro Growth Podcast. I hope you're all well and in good health. Today we're going to talk about weight loss, break down some of our methods behind prescribing different methods for weight loss, different kind of emotional eating, some other strategies that we find, as well as breaking down myths and other nonsense that is out in the industry. And we're going to kind of take you through a journey of the macro method for weight loss. Joe, before we start, how are you?
All good. All good. We're on, what is this, episode six?
Six.
I think it's six. I think it's number six. I think we've done well to get to number six. And hopefully people are enjoying it. So we obviously filmed the first four without releasing one. And now it's out there in the world. So now we've started to get a few messages, bits of feedback, which is great to see. So thank you for everyone that has been in touch and, you know, told us they listened or told us they enjoyed it. We still are open to recommendations.
Absolutely.
So if anyone has any topics they want covered, feel free to drop us a message and request. Last week we had some good questions come in, which we answered, which we'll be keen to do in the future as well. But yeah, weight loss today, which is a topic I've been waiting to speak a lot about this. Like, I think we've we're gradually going through our big topics, and I think weight loss is a big one. You know, especially if you're working a lot with general population over the previous years. And actually, I've worked with a lot of golfers that this has actually been high on their agenda of weight loss. And I actually asked a question on Instagram earlier in the week when I had a message from one of my clients who'd actually lost a significant amount of weight. And her perception was that it made her play better golf, which is interesting. So that could be something we talk about today. Like, actually, if you do lose weight, what effects does that have on your body? And does that actually potentially allow you to play better golf as well? So hopefully we'll cover that. Anything that you guys want covered, obviously let us know, but we're just going to keep banging out these topics that interest us, so we'll be a little bit selfish. And weight loss is that for today. So Sam, when you get a client come in that says, I want to lose weight, where do you start?
Typically, I would like to start at habits, breaking down what habits they have. A good one for me is always kind of go back to a point of, I try and get them to think back to a point in time where they were at a happy weight, and then we kind of break down what was different in their life then. So already it's becoming something that they can imagine because it's achievable because they've been there in the past. So I go, right, say if they're 55, I go, right, they go, when I was 40, I was at a really happy weight, I was really comfortable with my body. I say, right, what was the difference between then and now? What's changed? Eating habits, is that you exercising less, are you a bit more sedentary? And then we kind of say, right, so that's where you were, you know, you can do it, it's possible, it's not an impossible task. Let's maybe look at your calories, let's get you tracking your food for a week. And I'm sure we're going to be talking about kind of food tracking in this episode, and we'll break that down later on. Look at macros, see if they're doing anything silly, look at some eating habits, if they're potentially emotionally eating, which I think is a massive kind of subject I want to talk about in this episode as well. And then we'll go, right, this is the plan of action. Let's say, are we going to create this calorie deficit from moving more, or is that going to be eating less?
Wow. So you probably covered like all the topics that we probably want to talk about individually in this thing. So you spoke a little bit about habits, a little bit about, you said like when they were happy in their body. That's like a big one for weight loss as well. Like, quite often being overweight is linked to them not feeling happy in their body. And they perceive the fact that losing weight will make them happier, which again, something we'll talk about. Spoke about macros, spoke about calories, spoke about movement. Like, I think we should cover all of these topics. And I'm walking us into probably a long episode.
I think it's going to be one.
Very aware of that. To answer that same question, like, I think one of the when someone says I want to lose weight, or what do they do, my first question is always why. I think that's really important, because getting to the reason of why is pretty much the, for me, it's gonna be the determining factor whether they actually do it or not. Like, if they say because I want to look better, okay, why? Like, why do you want to look better? Well, I've got a holiday coming up, and, you know, whatever. Okay, so why does that matter? Well, I want to look good on the beach. Okay, why? Because I want people to think something. Okay, now we're getting there, right? Like you're getting to the point where someone's going to think something about you, right? So that's one kind of like deep dive you can go into. You can just ask why a couple of times and find out a reason. And for anyone that is listening to this and wants to lose weight, just ask yourself those questions, and it's quite interesting. And it might be that someone comes to me and they've said before, like, I've had this very often, and actually we didn't talk about it in mobility, but people say to me, I want to lose weight because I feel like I'm restricted in my golf swing, right? I don't have any evidence for that. Like, I can't, I've got no, like, personal feeling of that, and I've never seen any research for that.
No.
And there's plenty of overweight, very strong people who are very mobile, so... Yeah. I don't know, maybe it affects rotation, maybe it makes you feel like you're a little bit more restricted, maybe it makes you feel like you can't move very well. That's an interesting one. I don't know where I'm walking myself into a hole that I don't know how to get out of there, but I'm going to go back and just say that asking yourself why you want to lose weight, I think, is really important. Is that performance? Is that people's perception of you? Is it your perception that you're going to be happier if you lose weight?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always a good place to start. Yeah. So, let's say someone's really motivated. They've like, you know, I know why I want to lose weight. It's for this reason, for this specific task, whatever. Like, how does that process start for you? Because like, I've got a way that I do it, and I'd be really keen to know like how you go about. Like, what's the first actions that you would then take with that person to say, okay, this is how we're gonna, you know, let's say they want to lose, I don't know, 3 stone in the next 3 months. Like, how would you say, okay, this is how we're gonna do it? Like, what would be your
my first action would be sending them away and getting them to do a food diary. I typically don't like clients to do this ongoing. I would, depending on the person and their lifestyle, probably get them doing it for 1 to 2 weeks. We're all creatures of habit, so we're kind of going to eat the same things week in, week out. I then don't need them to do it any more than that. So that just gives me a rough idea of where they're at, what macros they're consuming, how many calories they're consuming, how many liquid calories with alcohol, because it's tends to be a lot that people will underestimate how much they're actually drinking calorie-wise. From then I'll analyze that and say, right, what changes can we create that feel like you're not dieting? The word dieting, for me, absolutely hate it because it's got so many negative connotations. Essentially, I'm on a diet right now. All your diet is what you put into your mouth, right? It's what you eat day to day. Dieting seems to be, it has these connotations of being restricted, or you can't eat this, or you shouldn't do that, and then there's all these negative thoughts attached to those things. I want to get away as far from that as possible. So yeah, food diary for a couple of weeks. I can then have a kind of look at that and see if there's any really easy areas that they're going wrong. That might be switching from fizzy drinks to diet drinks to different types of condiments, different types of cooking oils, just some really easy wins that doesn't feel like they're changing too much. Typically that will create the ball starting to roll. They should see numbers starting to come down, and then from there they're more likely to adhere to maybe some stronger changes that we might need to implement down the line.
So like nutrition
essentially
is like your first,
that's my first, right? That would be my first go to.
Okay, so I think that's really interesting you say that, because I'll probably say the same thing. By the way, guys, if you hear any weird noise coming now, we're at the studio and they've decided to cut the grass outside. So that, if there's any weird humming going on, that's Hartsbourne Country Club getting their greens fresh for you, if that's that noise. So yeah, shout out to the greenkeepers over here. So we could basically, when you say you start with nutrition,
yes,
I kind of start in the same place, but there's something I do before, which I basically, I will ask the question to the client and I'll say, you know, do you actually know how weight loss occurs?
Yeah.
Like, do you actually know how the body loses weight? Because there'll be a set belief system in that individual where they will say, you know, maybe they've lost weight previously, or maybe they've been told things by their friends.
I need to do is cut out carbs.
Yeah, if I just don't eat after 8 o'clock, yeah, I'll lose weight. Yeah. So there's always things in there, right? Like, and we'll talk about all of these things. And understanding where their brain currently is, I think, is really valuable.
Absolutely.
And that then, you understand then, are you working with, like, needing to improve the education of them? You know, like, understanding, okay, you don't understand how to lose weight, or you don't understand how to eat properly, or you don't understand, like, why you're currently overweight, or is it a behavioral thing? Like, I know I'm eating too much, and I know I don't move enough, and that's why I'm this weight, and I need help, you know, sorting out my habits to get there, right? And I think that's quite important. There's a big difference there. Like, if it's behavioral, I think we can provide a lot of accountability and provide a lot of things, but you can work with what they're working with. If it's educational, I think there's an even quicker win, because it's just they don't know that they're making a mistake and they don't know that they're doing it wrong. So I think both of those areas we can help with, but where their brain sits is important. But yeah, I would always start with nutrition as well. And I think, you know, maybe we should cover that actually. Maybe we should cover like how weight loss actually occurs. That might be useful, because we jumped ahead. Blago, you go.
I think we've got the same answer. You go, you're on the roll, you're on the roll.
I'm on the roll. So basically, if you imagine your weight as your, let's use the bank account analogy, right? If you earn more money than you spend, then your bank account will increase, right?
Agreed.
It'll go up. If you spend more money than you earn, your bank balance will go down, right? Pretty similar with your body weight. Pretty similar, right? And if we're going to forget muscle mass and forget fat and forget water and forget all these things, we're just going to take your body weight as a whole. And, you know, we've called this podcast weight loss. We've spoken about weight loss. We're not necessarily about fat loss. If we say weight loss in general, if we consume less, so when Sam's talking about everything you're eating, everything you're drinking, all of this consumption, everything we're taking in, all the money we're earning, and if we earn more, consume more, intake more than we expend out, and we spend and we burn off and we expend and get rid of, then we will gain weight, pretty much.
Yep.
Right? We're going to ignore hormonal factors for now. We're going to keep it nice and simple. And same the opposite, right? If you consume less than you burn off, then you will lose weight. And what goes into both sides of this, you know, in consumption, we're talking mostly about our foods and our drinks and our condiments and all the things that Sam was talking about there with nutrition. And our expenditure, we're talking about you living your daily life with the body that you have, and you'll burn off a certain amount of calories just to survive and just to live. We're also thinking about you walking around, you, as I'm talking now, I move my arms, this type of like general movement that goes throughout the day. And then obviously exercise is going to be on top of that. Recovery from things and all that junk goes in our expenditure side. So we're basically weighing up these two ends of a spectrum. And then our weight will obviously be weight loss or weight gain will obviously be a result of those two ends, right? So what Sam's saying when he's jumping straight into nutrition is same as my view. Nutrition is probably the easiest one of these things to make a big effect on, because it was way easier to eat 500 calories less than it is to burn off 500 calories. Like to burn off 500 calories is not easy.
Absolutely.
Yes, there's so many other benefits that come to exercise, and you know, you've listened to our strength training podcast and you've listened to everything, right? There's a lot of benefits to training, but if you're getting on weight loss, it's much easier to eat less than it is to try and burn more off. Obviously, dream scenarios, you do both, right?
Dream scenarios, you could overload, eating less, moving more. You should kind of, if you think of it like the scales, you should tip the scales a little bit quicker into the favor you want. If you just focus on nutrition, absolutely can lose tons of weight, no problem at all. If you just focus on the exercise, you can as well, all things remaining the same on the other side. If you can get both of them together, should be more effective at losing weight slightly quicker, which in my history has always been the way to get the ball rolling, get both on. A client often feels like, people often feel like, that's their weight, they're never going to be able to lose weight, it's impossible to lose weight, they've tried everything out there, all these fad diets, different types of training, whatever it was. As soon as they start to see the scale going down, hopefully they're going to stick to it, they're going to adhere to the methods, and you should see a bit more momentum there.
Yeah, I agree. It's like basically you're just hitting it from both sides, right? Like, and why not?
Yeah.
Because if we're talking about, you know, maybe we're jumping ahead, but if we're talking about the habits of someone saying like, I want to now lose weight, and they've got this motivation to lose weight, they probably want to improve their diet and their exercise at the same time. So why not do both? Right? Like, why not jump on that? So I do the same as you. Like, I actually get the client to fill out some kind of food diary for a week or 2 weeks, just for us to basically get an idea of what their current habits are and what they're currently doing. Because I always think like it's much easier to change what you're currently doing and adapt it slightly than it is to just start fresh and refresh.
It's not going to be realistic. They're gonna feel like it's so out of their lifestyle that maybe they stick to it for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks. After that, they're just going to go back to doing what they did before.
100%. So instead of thinking, how do we drastically change something, we're thinking, how do we improve it, adopt it? Powerful. So let's talk a little bit about that nutrition. So you mentioned there about calories, you mentioned about macronutrients, you mentioned about liquid calories, and you mentioned these things. Like, what's your overall concept of like nutrition if we're going to try and lose weight?
So I think we get into a bit of a sticky area here, where if we're just talking about kind of weight loss as opposed to optimum health, we kind of, they're conflicting areas. Essentially, I could go on a diet and eat Mars bars for a month. I could lose weight as long as I'm managing my calories in versus calories out. I could lose weight. I'm not going to be the healthiest I could ever be. But if we're just talking about weight loss, we need to essentially, when we're measuring calories, look at absolutely everything that we're putting in into our mouths. That is food and drink. Typically, a lot of my male clients underestimate how much calories they're consuming with alcohol. Females, potentially, it might be different condiments, your mayonnaise, ketchup, different things like that, then can really, really add up over the month, over the weeks there. I don't think we need to get into the kind of the depths of micronutrients and different things like that, because we are just talking about weight loss. So with macronutrients, we've got fats, carbohydrates, and protein. And like I said, kind of having a look at their food diary will then evaluate, right, are you short on any of these areas? I tend not to have a specific kind of set plan that I will put people on, because I'd like to see, there's a lot of people that say they do really well kind of low carbs or high fats or low protein, whatever that might be. So I try to work within that. So I think me and Joe are quite similar on this. We don't have like a fad diet that we're going to put you on, whether that's paleo or anything else. It's what works for you, and that's always how I'll work. So each weight loss journey for me is completely individual to the client.
I think where we're getting ourselves stuck as well, like, and I can see you like wanting to go down a hole and then pulling yourself out. Like, I can literally see your brain ticking. Like, I don't want to go there. So what we'll say for today, right, with the call we're doing today, or the episode we're doing today, we're talking specifically about weight loss,
just
right?
Weight loss.
And what's tricky with weight loss is it's very easy to get sucked into nutrition and down a nutrition hole.
Yes.
Of then like, okay, well, weight loss, but yeah, we want to also preserve muscle and we want to optimize the fat loss rather than just losing muscle. And then we want to, you know, then that gets into macros and then that gets into all these different things. So I think if we just, we're going to stick with weight loss today.
Yep.
We'll stick with weight loss and then we'll do other podcasts
where we
talk about nutrition. And then we can do another episode even when we talk about body composition.
Yep.
Like, how do you optimize body composition?
Yep.
How do you reduce fat, increase muscle? How do you, I want to swap my fat for muscle. Like, how do you like do that process, right? So that's, because I can see us going off and I don't want us to go off. We're going to stick with weight loss. So nutrition, if we keep it as simple as we basically need to consume less calories than we burn off.
Yep.
We obviously want to optimize what those calories are. As you said, you could do that just with eating Mars bars. That's a classic analogy. Obviously, we wouldn't want to, because we're going to talk in future about nutrition and health and all of these wonderful things. But the idea that you could needs to sit in your head.
Yes.
That's why I like
the idea is that you can create a calorie deficit, consume less than you're putting out in any way feasible possible that you would like, as long as you're looking at the calories. Is there's a unlimited different ways of losing weight for you to create that calorie deficit that is going to make you lose weight no matter what.
Yeah, like for example, if you're stranded on a desert island only with Mars bars to eat, and the guy said you can only eat these after 8 o'clock at night, you're not going to come off that desert island after only eating 5 Mars bars and like over a month.
Yeah.
And have gained like 2 pounds when you get on the scales at home. Like oh, well, I told you I shouldn't have eaten that Mars bar after 8 o'clock, right? Like, that's not going to be the case. So yes, we're not saying don't go out and eat a Mars. Like,
don't go out and just eat Mars bars.
I don't think Mars bars are going to pay us.
No,
a sponsorship.
Oh, I'd love if they could.
Any
sponsor
bar.
My Mars bars. Mars, yeah. If you're listening.
Yeah, I'll prefer Snickers, but we won't go on to that. But yeah, basically, that is the concept of food in this equation.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's a huge other side of it.
Movement,
activity, exercise, non-exercise expenditure,
yep.
Playing golf.
Yep.
How much of an effect does that have on this equation for your typical
huge
average?
Absolutely huge. That would be my next step. So just after the conversation of looking at food diaries, I would say, right, let's look at average steps per week. Don't like to look at it per day. Even per month is slightly better, because you're always going to have days that are going to be slightly higher than the other. I would then look at steps. Steps is a fantastic way of getting you to move more without feeling like you have to go and exercise. Exercise for a lot of people, unlike me and Joe, is a chore. They absolutely hate it. A lot of people getting out for a walk whether that's going meeting a friend, or if you can find some positive reinforcements to get moving. Typically, a lot of us listening is golf. The more golf you play, the more calories you're going to burn. It's a fantastic way. If you want to move more, play more golf, guys.
I did a blog post on this, and the name of the blog post was, "Is golf a good way to lose weight?"
Yeah.
And basically what I did was I analysed like how many calories do you burn during a round of golf, and then typically how many calories would you then consume as your typical weekend golfer, rocking up, having a fry up, having a couple of coffees, having a bacon sandwich on the way around, and then a couple of pints after.
What's the net gain?
Pretty much net zero, right? Zero. If you think of the calories extra that you'd burnt by going out compared to if you'd have just sat at home,
yes,
and then the extra calories that you consumed by eating a fry up and eating your Mars bar and your bacon sandwich rather than eating your normal breakfast, it probably is about net zero. But that's a good way of thinking about it, right? Yeah. Like we burn off, we consume, and that's why your weekend golfers aren't all like, you know, walking around with six packs, right? Like that's because we consume as much as we burn off, and ultimately you're going to be an end result of your income and expenditure, right? If we use the bank analogy. So you mentioned steps there. Obviously exercise is another big part of this. When we're looking at the overall picture of, you know, playing golf, formal exercise of like getting into the gym, your steps and just living, like what are some tricks that people can do to start to increase some of these across the board? I think steps is a big one, but are there any other things that people can start to do to increase this expenditure side?
Interesting. I would say my go-to has always been upping your steps, potentially standing up more. I know a lot of smartwatches now can vibrate and remind you to stand up every hour, different things like that. Potentially, if you're a desk worker, standing up, doing some work standing, taking calls on your phone and headphones and actually walking around the house as you're doing that. Little things like that over a month, 6 months, create a huge, huge change. I used to know off my top of my head, like how many extra calories it was burning 1,000 steps every single day over a month. And it was some crazy amount. Typically, to lose a pound of fat, it's 3,500 calories. To burn that off walking, I think it was about that every month. So adding 1,000 steps a day, which is probably, for a lot of people, less than 10 minutes of exercise a day. It's a crazy how quickly that can add up.
Mate, find that stat. I need that stat right now in my life, because that is Golf Fitness School all over right now, that we've just described. So Sam mentioned in there, which like I think is really important to go on. Like when we're talking about this balance between income, like the amount that you consume and the expenditure, the amount that you burn off, he threw the number out there, which is the correct number, which is 3,500 calories, is around 1 pound of fat. So if you overconsume by around 500 calories a day, or if you burn off 500 calories a day extra over a week, you can lose a pound. And that's kind of a good analogy for people to go for. Because if you imagine trying to burn off an extra 500 calories a day, that's quite tricky. To eat 500 calories less per day is a little bit easier, but it's a hell of a lot easier to just eat 250 calories less, burn off 250 calories more, and then get this net change of 3,500 over the week, which can give you this pound of loss. Have you found the number, Sam?
Yeah, I was slightly off, guys. So 1,000 steps is roughly 30 to 40 calories. So that times by a month is still 1,200 calories, which is a lot. So over 3 months, you've burnt a pound of fat off, essentially, if everything else stays net zero. However, getting to, say, a round number like 10,000 steps a day is 300 to 400 calories. Now that times by, let me work it out quickly. Well, I say work it out, do the calculator. 400 times 30, that's 12,000 calories, every month. That's tons of calories that people are kind of leaving out there.
3.5 pounds, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge amount. And what's great about walking is, maybe I'm assuming a little bit here, but for the vast majority of the population, it's not fatiguing. You can do 10,000 steps every single day without feeling sore, tired, fatigued. And you can go and repeat that and repeat that and repeat that. Those are the habits that me and Joe really like to instill in people, that don't need too much discipline or motivation. It's something that should become, once it's in your routine, like a really nice part of your day.
100%. And like, even obviously I'm a big advocate of standing. I've actually sat down today for this podcast. It's just weird, like it just feels odd. But like standing, for example, like I say to, like quite a lot of the calls that I do with my clients are like, say for example, if we're on Zoom, they'll be sat down and I'll be stood up,
yeah,
right? And I would say to them, like, if we were to do a time lapse of this call, like, your head would stay still for the whole hour, where I'd be all over the place. Yeah. My head would be moving all over the place. And it's not because I'm trying to do anything weird. It's just because standing isn't very comfortable. And when standing's not comfortable, it makes you move. So basically, all we're doing when we move from a seated position to a standing position is we promote movement. Yep. And that's what you're talking about. That movement is then steps, it's movement, it's calories, right? And that's why you'll always notice that person that fidgets all the time. They're never fat, are they?
Yeah. But they're burning calories constantly. Constantly, constantly, constantly.
They're annoying. But they're not fat.
But
then that's like when we're trying to balance up these two sides with that's what we're thinking, right? If you can attack this like movement, notice we haven't even mentioned the gym yet. Yep. We've not even mentioned a treadmill in the gym. We've not even mentioned you going out for a run. We've not even mentioned any of this stuff, right? Before we even get to exercise and how much of an effect that can have on weight loss, there's so much more you can do. Like just making slightly better food choices. If you think 250 calories a day, like that can be the difference of having a full snack and reducing it down to a 100 calorie snack, that could be the difference there, like easily, like a dessert. Instead of having a big dessert, just have a small little 100 calorie snack. Yep. Or instead of having a normal fizzy drink, have a diet fizzy drink. Like that is how easy that is to make those 250 calories up. Extra 250 calories of movement. Sam's already said it there. That's not that many more steps for you to get done in a day. Suddenly you're losing a pound a week.
Yeah.
Like that's powerful. We've not stepped in the gym. We've not even got sweaty at this point to actually burn off the calories. And that's how easy weight loss can happen if you get this like, kind of small stuff right. So let's talk big stuff. Like if you were going to go and train now and you would say, right, I'm actually going to be and I know your answer to this already, but we're all going to be on a weight loss journey and I'm going to do this and I'm going to get it to the gym, right? I'm going to go to the gym and we train. What would my training look like?
So me and Joe, you guys probably know by now, have a strong bias towards strength resistance training rather than cardiovascular training.
You mean I'm not going to walk on the treadmill?
Like, we're all golfers, right? We're all hopefully walking round a couple of rounds a week. Like, why do we need to do any more of that, especially if you don't really enjoy it? The benefits of strength training, we've spoken about before. However, the more muscle mass we can put on person... So, I'm Joe. I'm going to add 1 kilogram of muscle mass to me. That extra muscle mass now compared to the other person is going to burn more calories by doing absolutely nothing. So take Joe, he's added 1 kilogram of muscle, he's lying down in bed all day. Compared to his old self, he's going to burn more calories because it takes more energy to synthesize that muscle essentially that you've got. So just by doing some strength training, adding some muscle mass to you, you're burning more calories without even doing anything else. Plus, you might look good, feel better, and perform out on the golf course slightly more.
So this is the key word, metabolism.
Yep.
This is our basal metabolic rate for anyone who wants to get geeky on it. But when people say their metabolism slows down when they get older, when people say that, you know, I've always had a slow metabolism, or it's easy for you because you've got a fast metabolism, so, you know, it's easy for you. You can eat, you can, you know, where for me, if I just look at cake, I put on weight. Like, that's the phrase, right? Our metabolism is a thing. It is a thing. Like, but the easiest way of thinking about it is, you know, how many calories am I burning without doing anything, which is what Sam's describing there. And muscle mass is a big part of that.
It's a massive part of that.
It's a huge, you know, actually just your general body weight. Like, the heavier you are, the higher your basal metabolic rate is. Yeah. So, and that's quite interesting when you get someone in that's overweight or really overweight, and they say, oh, well, you know, I've got a slow metabolism. I mean, actually, your metabolism is probably quite high. Like, actually, for you to maintain that weight, like...
Yeah, it's working a lot. It's working like really, really hard.
Yeah, like, it's just... Yeah. So if you actually lay down all day, like, you'd actually burn off quite a lot of calories. But we kind of... Yeah, we're moving off that. But, like, basically, what we're getting at is the training for weight loss probably doesn't look much different to your training for strength or your training 100%. For performance or your training for whatever. The goal really is strength, weight training, building muscle, promoting muscle synthesis and boosting all this stuff.
Typically, that's how I like to separate it with clients. I will always say, right, the habits we're going to create outside of the gym is what's going to facilitate the weight loss. The training inside the gym should be for strength, different things like that. We shouldn't be going to the gym to burn calories.
Yeah.
Unless you absolutely love cardio stuff. And if you do, you're not my friend.
I take that back.
There's just so many different ways to facilitate it. There's been a massive kind of surge in popularity for like HIIT classes and different things like that, where you're burning tons and tons of calories in a really short time. You're getting lots of of sweat, you're releasing loads of endorphins, you feel great. If that's what you love, perfect. Anything that you can do and stick to that, go for it. Absolutely go for it.
And I think there's like two bits to that that I'll add. Like one with the strength training also, but if you're doing it for aesthetic reasons, then when you lose the weight, you look better anyway. Like Agreed. Building muscle is obviously going to be part of that journey. And two, that obviously those other things do work. Like if you just went and ran on a treadmill for 2 hours every day, you would burn a lot of calories and you would lose weight. We're not saying that isn't the case.
No.
Same doing like big high intensity circuit classes for an hour. You're going to burn a lot of calories in that class. You're going to burn a lot of calories after that class when you recover. We're not saying that's not going to be the case. We're just saying that you don't have to do that to have weight loss. And that's not necessarily the way that I would program. Yeah. For someone I know, it's not the way you would, because it's extreme, it's intense. Like, and some people love it.
Yeah.
Some people would do it for a week and never go back.
Typically as well, it's getting to the point where people are training for the marathon now. Over my years PTing, the amount of clients I've had come to me after running the marathon saying they've actually put on weight. So they're doing the most exercise they've ever done. They're running further than they've ever done before. They get back from these runs and they literally have the biggest fry-ups, lunches. And you feel like you're burning it off, but in reality, you're actually not. Like, for you to kind of burn as much energy as you're eating, people really underestimate the difference there. So it's why I tend not to use exercise for weight loss, because it's just the gap is so different. People, if you were to kind of get people to guesstimate how many calories they'd burned in a workout compared to how many calories they were on a plate, it would be way, way off. So I like to create weight loss out of the gym. I like to use the gym for performance in different areas like that.
And also like making it a little bit more realistic to the general population. Like, let's say for example you've got to work late that day and you can't get to the gym.
Absolutely.
Then suddenly you're like, oh no, now I'm gonna gain weight. Like, what, it's not, you just keep your eating like regular and you're fine. You just didn't train that day. It's not a problem. You can still keep all your other habits. Like, that's the good thing about nutrition, is it doesn't, I know we're gonna go down a different route of like meal prep and like being organized and this stuff, but it doesn't really take any time out of your day either. Like, when people say I don't have time to exercise, that's fine. Like, we can actually still get progress just by making better decisions in your food, which doesn't take time as such. It's just making a better decision when you have the opportunity to, which I think is really powerful. How do people sustain weight loss?
Sustain weight loss. Well, this is the thing. So this is why I went on my little rant earlier about diets and why I hate the word diet. I think the stat is something crazy that I think 90%, it might even be 95% of diets don't work. And that's being defined as losing weight and keeping the weight off for a minimum of 6 months. 95% of that doesn't work. People don't do. They might lose weight, they'll go off the diet, and then they put the weight back on. So it's not sustained. The way to sustain it is actually, like, once you've lost weight and you're kind of comfortable with the number or how you look aesthetically, whatever kind of measurements you're using, maintenance is actually like a really good place to be at, and it's a really kind of fun place to be at, because you can not worry so much about creating a deficit. You can kind of earn your calories in exercise and pay it off, like the bank account type of analogy we've been using. It's a really fun way of staying there. The way I kind of, it's interesting, since kind of learning more about flexible dieting and creating habits and different behaviours changes there, I don't really talk about kind of sustaining the weight loss, because people have created those habits. So we're not asking for a change. We're kind of saying, right, let's stick to where we're at, and you're at a fantastic place. It's a really enjoyable place to be. What about you, Joe? Have you had any history of working with clients? They might have lost loads of weight and yo-yoed a little bit, which we see a lot.
Yeah, 100%. So I think when you're getting onto fad diets, like, I wouldn't say fad, like every diet, every single diet anyone has ever done that's lost weight has lost weight in the same way.
Yeah.
So whether you've done a diet that's been no carb, or whether you've done a diet that's intermittent fasting, or whether you've done a diet that's paleo or Atkins or anything else, the way that diet has worked for you in terms of it losing weight has been because it's reduced the amount of calories you've consumed, and you've basically consumed less calories than you burn off, right? That's the only way that diet's worked. That diet didn't work because you didn't eat for 16 hours.
Yes.
It worked because you didn't eat for 16 hours, you didn't consume as many calories, right? Once you understand that, then it's just a case of, okay, well, I assume that a diet where I can't eat for 16 hours, or a diet where I can't eat specific things, or specific foods are restricted or completely forbidden, that's probably not going to be as sustainable for me for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Right? So if I've gone, okay, now I'm going to be paleo and I'm only going to eat these things, then I get to a restaurant and there's nothing for me, that's going to be quite difficult and more likely to fail. Or, you know, I go out and I want to eat out and there's nothing there for me, like, it's, oh, I'm just going to eat whatever today and then I'm off that diet, right? So that's always going to be less sustainable. So I always think that for maintaining weight loss, we need to find the habits from the start that are actually going to be habits you can maintain for the rest of your life. So when someone says to me, oh, I'm going to start taking these replacement shakes, or I'm going to start intermittent fasting, I'm not going to eat for 16 hours and I'm going to eat and for whatever. Okay. Is that doable for the rest of your life, or are you just doing it now for an instant result? If we can find something and habits that are doable for the rest of our life, it's going to be much easier to sustain that. It's going to be much easier for you to say, okay, now I can just adopt these habits and maintain these habits for X amount of time, or as long as I need to lose weight for, or as long as I want to stay this weight. Basically, think of the weight that you want to be and behave like that weight.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then that's sustainable, right? Whether that's gym, whether that's nutrition, whether that's getting more steps in, whether that's standing up at your desk, find those habits and adopt those habits that are sustainable, and then just do those habits and the weight will happen and it will just stay there.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing we haven't touched upon that I think a lot of people kind of underestimate is actually how many calories you burn when you're sleeping. Typically, if you look at all your different activities during the day, whether that's exercising, standing, steps, whatever that may be, the biggest area where you're actually burning calories is in your sleep. You've got your body restoring, you've got your brain restoring all the memories. The longer you sleep, the more calories you're going to burn. So if you're kind of underperforming sleep wise and getting less than average, focus on that and you will see a massive change just focusing on sleeping. Going into nutrition a little bit just on this, typically they've shown that the less you sleep, the less healthy your choices are the next day in terms of food wise as well. So they've done some really interesting studies on letting people sleep less, putting them in front of a buffet in the morning. Typically, the people that sleep less will go for less healthy foods than the people that have slept more. So sleep is another really easy way to kind of increase how many calories you're burning.
There's a really good study on sleep as well, where, because people often say that when they lack sleep, they're getting weight. Like, obviously, this reason is a big one for making poor decisions.
Yes.
is a big one. But what they also looked at is they done stuff where they reduced the sleep, but then equated for calories. So they actually had to consume the same amount of calories as the people that had the full amount of sleep. What they found was that the people that had limited sleep stored more fat around the belly. So that idea of like a, you know, like the typical dad bod that people moan about, like when they're lacking sleep and they've got the kids and whatever, they gain weight around the stomach. Like, there is actually science behind that. It's just like lack of sleep makes you store fat in these specific areas. So like, although we're talking about weight loss, like the storing of fat will change how your body is composed. And then what it looks like, right? And then people might say that, like, actually I need to lose weight, but actually it's just we maybe just need to look at these habits and how your body is then reacting to these things, and where are you storing this fat, are you losing muscle, and actually redistributing. So it's not always necessarily a weight loss, sometimes it's weight redistribution.
Yep.
Which leads us perfectly on to what we're going to do in a couple of podcast time. Yeah. Not today, we're not getting tempted. We're not getting tempted. So summarizing weight loss, mm-hmm. Someone comes to you, they want to lose weight, they want to go through this process. You've said that nutrition, we've said movement. Is there a way for the kind of like, what's realistic for how much they can expect to lose? Like, if you were to set a target to someone, say like, I want to lose, if they say I want to lose this amount of weight, well, it's time. What parameters would you work within to say that that's realistic? Let's say they're doing everything perfect. They're going to sort their diet out. They're going to exercise. They're going to improve their steps. They're going to improve their whatever. What would you say is doable? Or what have you seen as doable, and what do you think is healthy?
What have I seen that's doable and sustainable? I think is anywhere between kind of a quarter to potentially a half of a kilogram a week. I think any more than that becomes unsustainable. You're probably introducing some things into your lifestyle that aren't realistic for you to stick to for long amount of time. But it's hard because you get clients coming to you and say, right, I've got six pack in 6 weeks, or do you know what I mean? I've got 8 weeks till I'm going to Ibiza, or I'm going to Portugal for a golf trip. Yes, you can work like that. Hopefully you can create habits and change that you're going to stick like that. But I like to aim for clients in a realistic way, kind of a quarter to half a kilogram per week. Yourself?
Yeah, I think it's I like, well, one thing I do like about weight loss is when people make these, they say, for example, they change a diet and they make the exercise changes they made, they do normally see a big drop.
Yeah.
As I like to start off with, especially their diet's been awful. Like, they'll see initial drop of water and, you know, get rid of a lot of gunk. And that's quite motivating. What the hard part is keeping them motivated after that. I agree with those numbers. I think those numbers are pretty much bang on for what would be realistic. But also understanding that, like, how do you weigh yourself? Like, if you weigh yourself once a week, much be that you weighed yourself in one of your slightly higher fluctuations, yep, and then you didn't see as much weight loss. So understanding your weight obviously goes through peaks and troughs and kind of waves, but as long as that wave is gradually moving in the right direction, then you're kind of going to be there. So I don't know, we're going to go down a rabbit hole of like measuring, yeah, weight loss and fat loss and tape measures and bioimpedance and all this stuff, which we're not going to do. We're just going to say that just be aware that your weight does fluctuate day by day for many other reasons. But yeah, those numbers that Sam just spat out are pretty accurate if you're looking at doing that. And you can obviously just put those numbers in and then calculate, you know, I want to lose X amount of weight, and it will give you a predicted date of when that is going to, yeah, be doable by.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else that you want to touch upon, Joe, for weight loss? Or
I think as long as people can come away with this and understand how we actually lose weight, I think that's really important. Understand all the different factors that go into it. Find what's going to be your easiest way of doing that. If you know that your nutrition just can't be touched because, you know, whatever reason, then you can work on the movement side. If you know that movement can't be touched because you haven't got enough time, then it can be touched on the nutrition side. Ideally, we work on both. And just coming away with the idea of how we lose weight, understand that all of these diets work on the same principles. You can obviously put your own version of that into whatever suits your lifestyle, and work within these parameters of what's realistic, yeah, I suppose. As long as people can take that away, I think.
Absolutely. And all I'd add to that is find your why, guys. Like, why is it you want to lose weight? And if that's a really strong, strong reason, you and just keep reminding yourself why. Because it's not easy. Like, I know we've kind of said, right, yeah, just eat less, move more. It's not as easy as that. There's a lot of kind of emotional reasons that people eat more or move less, and it's hard. So just keep reminding yourself of why it is you do want to lose weight, and try and enjoy it as much as you can on that journey.
I heard a good thing the other day, which I think might be a good one to leave people with, of how hard it is, right, to lose weight. So if you imagine if someone's addicted to food and they're addicted to maybe sugary snacks, maybe they're addicted to cake or whatever they're addicted to, right, with food or fizzy drinks or alcohol. Scrap alcohol, don't use alcohol, we're going to use food as the example. If you're basically saying to someone in that's addicted to something, right, in the same way that someone might be addicted to gambling or might be addicted to alcohol, could be used in that, yep, example, or smoking or drugs, you basically say to them, like, okay, like, you can't be doing this anymore because it's no good for you, right, the same as the alcohol, the drugs or whatever. So it's not that you can just quit,
you still have to
yep, eat, but you have to eat this like slightly worse thing,
yeah,
that's in the shop right next to the thing that you like.
Yeah.
So it's like being like a drug addict and, yeah, say like, okay, so you can't not take drugs anymore, although it's really bad for you.
Yeah.
You've got to take like this drug that's like, you know, it doesn't taste as good or give the same feeling as the drug that you like.
Yeah.
And it's done in the same way.
Yeah.
And it's like in the shop right next to the drug that you really like, but don't take that other drug because otherwise like bad things happen.
100%.
Like, you can take this alcohol, like, no, you can't stop drinking.
Yeah.
You've got to only drink this alcohol now.
Yeah.
Like, it's very difficult. You can't just stop eating.
No.
So you're always having to make a decision, and the line of like what is okay, what's not okay, is blurred. There is no correct or incorrect. It's tough. It's tough.
It's really hard, guys. It is really hard. As always, any questions, any queries, shoot us an email. You can find us on social media. I'm Sam_MacroGolf. Joe's is the same, Joe_MacroGolf. Email links to everything will be in the description of the episodes. Any questions, please get in touch. And if you are struggling, guys, just reach out and book a call. We'll try and help.
See you later, guys.